Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Podcast. You can find out more about our church on the program notes or at prairieoaksbaptist.com. Thank you so much. God bless. Let's get to the sermon. In here, we're going to be turning in our Bibles to Luke chapter 18, or you can use your device. Luke 18, another one of Jesus' parables. And stories that Jesus uses to teach us, they pack a lot of meaning in them. And so, Luke chapter 18, and let's stand, if you are able, out of respect for God's Word. Starting in verse 1, "Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Let's pause for prayer. Father, we're thankful to come into your presence. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us and gives us access to your throne for the grace and mercy we need each day. We thank you, Lord, for your word. May it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that we may know how we may ought to walk in this world. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who gives us understanding and things that we wouldn't otherwise understand or would misconstrue. So, Lord, we ask that you work through these in hearts, both in Children's Chapel and in here, that the lost would be saved, that lives would be transformed into the image of your Son, perfect humanity, and that your name would be praised as we go out in the community with what we learn here, Lord, changed by the time in your presence. Guide my words and thoughts, Lord, to accurately teach your word. Forgive us of the ways we fail you, and in the name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful friend and redeemer, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So it's kind of unusual. A lot of, we looked 2 weeks ago at the parable of the soils, and Jesus told the parable, and then he tells them, you know, if you're not going to understand this one, then I'm going to have to explain it, because this is the key to learn about the other parables. And so he did. He explained it. But most of the time, Jesus didn't explain his parables. He expected us to kind of wrestle with it and listen to the Holy Spirit and teach one another. But here's one. He flips it a little bit, because did you notice in verse 1, he immediately tells us what the point is, didn't he? There's some other ones I wish he would have done that too as well. I was like, could you tell me what the point is to this one? Because I don't get it. Luke has some really interesting parables in it if you're looking for some head scratchers. But he says, I want you to get the point. Don't give up on prayer. End of sermon, right? We can go home now and go eat lunch or something. There's more to go on though in there. But he gives us the point. Don't give up on prayer, because don't give up on God. He is a faithful one. And that's a message that he gives often. If you think about, I'm going to flip over to Matthew, and you can go with me. It's in chapter 6 and 7. But Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, he told them, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be open. And it's kind of obscured in our English, but it's more clear in the Greek. It's not just ask once, it's asking. Keep asking. Keep seeking, right? Keep knocking. He wants us to be diligent. He wants us to be fervent. He wants us to be persistent. He wants us to keep coming. It's not just a one and done thing. And I pause for a second to say, and this is something that in my daily readings, I've been wrestling with this with God, and in my time with Him, wrestling with this with God, in that, you know, what does that look like? You know? And then, so here you go. He gives us this parable in the timing as I'm reading through to say, no, I want you to be this kind of persistent in your prayers. Because, well, why would He need to tell us to be persistent? Well, because sometimes it doesn't happen immediately, does it? There's not an answer immediately. He has basically three answers, right? Yes, no, or wait. And a lot of times, wait is the hardest one for us to take, right? Because it's like, but I asked because I needed it now, you know, or I asked because I really want this now. And wait. Because God, well, as He spoke through James, you know, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask for the wrong reasons, with the wrong timing, or just flat out for the wrong things. You ask amiss. You missed the point of the prayer, right? And so that's part of us, you know, He's not the genie in the bottle. You just get to make your wishes and pop, it happens. We're talking to the infinitely wise, perfectly timed, all-powerful, all-loving God. And as we've often said, His wisdom is like the limitless ocean, and our brains are the size of a soda can. He's got bigger thoughts and more information than we can take in. We don't get the full picture. And so in our prayers, we have to remember we're coming to someone who knows better than we do. We think we got it figured out. We know exactly what there needs to be here. But we don't. It seems obvious to us. But remember, our little soda can only takes in so much. And one of the things He's doing is He's teaching us to wait upon the Lord. You know, that's probably one of my most frustrating phrases I see in the Psalms is wait on the Lord. Patience is not one of my strong points yet. He's still working on me. Whether it's driving or in prayer or in any aspects of my life, patience is not one that I've got down yet. And maybe you can empathize with that. And so, always ought to pray. Pray without ceasing. You know, Paul said that. Well, what did he want us to fill that time with? Well, part of that is in seeking God and humbling ourselves. Because one thing I'm coming to realize is prayer is part of Him changing us. Shaping our desires, shaping our viewpoint, our perspective on what is going on in around us. And so we ought always to pray and don't lose heart. Disappointment, discouragement, not to let those rule when it comes to our relationship with our Father. But now there's another, that's the general principle. And it, as I've just demonstrated from Matthew and James and Paul's letters, that's a general principle that's taught throughout the Scriptures. But that's not just what Jesus is doing here in Luke 18. So I would neglect the message if I didn't tell you what it's saying here as well, right? And so let's go a little farther here. And so this is the point, this is where he tells the story, right? So there was a city and there was a judge, and the judge appointed to bring justice in that community, he didn't fear God. Now, that's supposed to trigger something in us, isn't it? It's supposed to remind us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And this guy doesn't have that. That's a bad sign, right? He doesn't have respect for human beings, whether as image bearers or just people in general. He doesn't respect them. He doesn't like them. That would be a problem as well, because he has to deal with people all the time. So it makes you wonder, how does he render justice then? And I use quotation marks there, because obviously he's not going to be bringing very good justice if he's not walking in the Lord and not caring about people. Well, he's doing what's best for him. And now it kind of feels icky, because now I realize, oh, this isn't a fictional story Jesus is using. Now he's talking about us. He's talking about where we are in this world. Because whether it is actual justice in a court or us in our own judgments, how often do we fail to fear the Lord or have respect for others? And so there's a problem here. This judge is ill-equipped for what he is supposed to be doing, bringing justice. And then enter the other person in the story. There's a widow. Now, widows in that time period, they didn't have, you know, all the same civil rights and the same, they needed a protector. Whether it was a husband or a son or somebody to be their advocate. And if you, it's a few centuries different time period, but if you go back to the story of Ruth, when you read through the story of Ruth, you realize that's the significance of Boaz in that story, is that he's the one who's going, it's not his job, but it is his job. He's going to be the kinsman redeemer. He's going to be the protector and the advocate for them. For these two widows, Ruth and Naomi. And here she is. She has no strength. She has no power. And she's got to come to this judge, this guy, and get him to protect her from her adversary. And her adversary, it's the same word that's used for Satan many times in the New Testament. So it's not the good guy in the story. It's not someone that she's trying to take advantage of. It's someone who's taking advantage of her. It is someone who's trying to hurt her, cheat her. And she needs justice. She needs this judge to do his job so that she can survive. And she goes to him and he says, "What's in it for me? Nothing? Okay, go away." That's what he did, didn't he? He refused. So now she's got no recourse, right? Well, she's still got one thing, doesn't she? She's got persistence. So what does she do? She goes the next time court is open and she says, "I need justice. I need protection." No, go away. What does she do? Next time court's open, "I need justice. I need protection." Next day, "I need justice. I need protection." And she just stays at him. You know those kind of people, don't you? Maybe you are those kind of people. I don't know. But they don't let up. And in her, and she has no other recourse. She has no other protector. Her only strength is in her perseverance. The persistent widow. "Get me justice from my enemy." And so you hear it. After a while, he says within himself, "I don't fear God. I don't like people. I don't respect them. But she is wearing me out. She has wore me out. And I'm going to do what she says, not because it's right, not because it's what God would have me do. I'm doing it just to get her out of my court." Yeah. Thorn in the flesh plus, right? It's like she's beating him in the face is what the Greek uses there. She is just wearing him out. And so he does what is right. Not because it's right, but because it's what's best for him. He's tired of her. And Jesus says, so hear what was said and now apply the point. Because Jesus had a way of using stories and metaphors in a way that's a little different than we normally would. So he says, if this is true in this area, how much more is God like this. If this is what evil does, how much more is good in comparison? You know, this is dark, this is the bright light. And you know that really stands out. And so that's what Jesus is doing here. He's not comparing his father to an unjust judge and saying, well, you got to just pester him because he's not going to do what's right unless you irritate the fire out of him. That's not the point, right? We all know that. No, instead he says, I want you to come to God as your father, knowing his character is nothing like that guy. But sometimes you're going to have to be persistent. And there's two things that in that, well, why do I have to be so persistent? Well, there's two things that I want to just bring out in this. And so let's just grab it. One is from the story. She was being cheated. She was being oppressed. She was being persecuted. And she needed justice. And if you look at the context of this parable, what was Jesus talking about in chapter 17, those verses up ahead? It's the end times. It's the end, just before he comes. And Jesus is saying, when it gets towards the end, you're going to be cheated, you're going to be oppressed, you're going to be persecuted, and you're going to wonder, God, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for, God? And he says, don't lose heart. Keep praying. Now, do you see what's going on here? He's just taken this very general principle and applied it to a very where the rubber meets the road kind of place. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But one day it will get better. Don't lose heart. Keep praying. Your Father cares for you. And so we're preparing ourselves. Jesus is preparing us that there's going to be times, and if we took a poll in our hearts, we would know we've felt that way before. Oh, God, this isn't right. Why is this happening this way? And we have two choices to make in our hearts when that happens. We can run to God or we can blame God. And blaming God doesn't take us anywhere good. Because whatever's out there is the unjust judge. We need to run to God. And though he... And there is a subtleness in this here. It says, shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? He is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. It's not just for Christmas. But even in our trials, in our troubles, in our injustices, God is still with us. He's not just up there looking down and saying, whoa, boy, they got it bad. I'm going to make him suffer a little longer. No, he is with us in those times. He is bearing with us because his Holy Spirit has taken up residence within your heart. He is Christ with us. He knows what it's like to suffer injustice. Have you read the end of the Gospels?
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got a resurrection, but it's on the other side of a miscarriage of justice where an unjust judge said, I know he's innocent and I know you guys are crooked, but I'm going to let you do whatever you want with him because I'm doing what's best for me. That's how that story goes. Not how it ends, right, Miss PJ? No, it ends in a resurrection, but even Jesus, as he tells us this here, remember, he doesn't ask us to do anything that he hasn't already done himself. Because he is with us. He is for us. And shall not God avenge his own elect, his own chosen people, his favorites? Will he not bring justice for them? Will he not vindicate them? even though they cry out day and night to him. So there will be times for perseverance with God, because he bears long. He is long-suffering with his people. And there was another element in this that stood out to me. That word avenge. Because what is the widow asking for? She's asking for justice. You know, I have conversations with people sometimes and they're like, you know, this isn't fair. Life isn't fair. And you're right, it's not. But it's also not fair in other ways. We don't want fair. We don't want justice from God. We want mercy. There's a story of a blind man on the road outside of Jericho, and I love how he says it. It says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd is like, "You're an embarrassment. Quit." And what does he do? "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." That's us. Have mercy on me. I don't want justice. But there are times that I see in the scriptures where God's servants say, but I need justice. I need protection from my enemies. Read the Psalms. David pours his heart out like that. God, I need justice. You know me. You see it in Elijah when he's on Mount Horeb. And he says, God, they've all betrayed you. And they've killed your servants. And I'm all alone. Crying out for justice. One of the little books in the middle there, Habakkuk. God, you're too holy to look upon the evil that I see all around your people, in your people, among your people. What are you going to do about it? You've got to bring justice. There is a place for that. And it's not just an Old Testament thing. Have you read the seven seals of Revelation? As Jesus pops back, the fifth seal, what do they say under the altar? Lord, how long until you avenge our blood? We've died for your name's sake. Jesus himself even reminds, with grief in his heart, when he tells Jerusalem, the wrath is coming, and on you will be guilt of every righteous person from Abel to Zechariah, from A to Z, from Genesis to the last book of the Old Testament that as he read it. There will be a time for justice. And that's in that phrase there when he says, I tell you, in verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Do not think, Peter says, that God is just twiddling his fingers and being slow. He is going to be swift one day to bring justice. His forbearance, his patience is because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But one day the hammer's going to drop. The skies will split open and our Savior will arrive to make all wrongs right. And we need to be on his side before that day comes. It is happening in a flash. Judgment will come. And with those promises, we then see the last sentence of this parable as Jesus teaches what is coming out of this. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Now, as God, he knows how much faith he will find on the earth. But he asked it that way because he wants us to put ourselves in that. Will we remain faithful Will we remain diligent? Will we keep praying and not lose heart? Will we continue to trust Him when the times get tough, when it looks like evil is getting the upper hand? Will we persevere? It's easy to say yes, but I tell you, it's harder when the hits start coming.
Ask Peter.
Ask Paul. Ask them all. That vision in Revelation was for John as much as it was for everyone else. They were taking the hits. They were struggling. And so let us not be so confident in that either. Will he still find faith? Will we still set our affection on the things that are above and not on the things on earth? Will we still seek the things that are eternal, or will we settle for just the temporary relief of disobedience to God? My prayer for me and for you is that we see these for what they are, and that we would take a lesson from a very stubborn old woman, the persistent widow, who relentlessly, she kept seeking, she kept asking, she kept knocking, knowing that God hears our prayers and that He cares.